Good morning and welcome to Grace Baptist Fellowship. We're so glad that you're here to worship with us today. And if you're joining us maybe the first, second, or third time, we'd love to know how we can help and connect with you. Inside your cover of your hymnal there beside your chair is a connections card. Fill out as much information as you feel comfortable with and dropping the offering plate or hand it to me. But we'd love to know how we can serve you. And so please do that if you may. What a great week we've had, and we're looking forward to upcoming events, so I'll let you know what's coming up on our horizon here. As far as we know, the rest of the services will be at the Sawmill through August. In fact, our last service, we probably will have enough for two services, but we will not. August 30th, we'll have a 10:30 service and 4:30, but we won't do two morning services. One 10:30 last service here, pack it all in. This is our last Sunday here at the Sawmill on the 30th. So we will have a good service there. Also have baptism. So we'll set that up over here. And we have it all lined up to be here. And so we're excited about that. We're going to make this a day of praising God for how he has provided for us the last 7 years here. So on the 6th, we will have a service at Trailblazer Park in Traveler's Rest. And I'll start probably this week. Post the location for that is just as you get into TR. It's a great park. I didn't had the picture last week, didn't put it in this week. It's a great park, but on the 6th, we'll have one service plus lunch there on September 6th. And then the 13th through the 27th will be at Furman University at the Yount's Conference Center. And so pretty much if you go down 25, take the Duncan Chapel, the old bunkum, the Duncan Chapel. It's the first right as you come to Furman, on the backside of Furman, and first left there. So we are praying for God to continue to bless and to move and to provide us the way forward from that. So Furman has been very, the Yount's Conference has been very kind to us, and so we will continue with that. Good to see you here this morning as we worship God. Let's bow in prayer and ask for him to settle our hearts and to guide us in worship this morning. Gracious God, I thank you so much for your love and for your great mercy in our hearts and lives. Father, thank you for your grace that has been shown to us by Christ. So God, as we come together, as we worship you, we pray that you would receive the worship from our hearts. May our hearts be pure, because that is the only way that you'll receive our worship. Thank you for our time. May you be glorified in it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Hymn number 7, we'll sing Abba Father, and after hymn number 7, we'll sing 143, so two songs in succession, hymn number 7, and hymn number 143, Be Thou My Vision. Remain seated, please. thou my. Ken Hall will lead us in prayer.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we can come and worship Thee without fear of being arrested or fear for our lives here in this country. Lord, we just pray that You would be with our services today. Be with our pastor as he leads us, as he, You would anoint his lips with the Holy Spirit. And if there be one here today that does not know Thee as Savior, we pray that that one would come forward. Now, Lord, we just commit this day to You and ask for Your guidance and wisdom, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
He left His throne to wear a crown of shame, forsaken Son, when He our sin became. In blackest night He faced His death alone. In brightest day He rose and claimed His throne. Consider Him who chose a lonely cross. Consider Him and marvel at His loss. Despising shame, Christ suffered in your place. Consider Him, sufficient is His grace. Though in the race of faith you seek relief, reset your gaze on Him who knows your grief. Rejected by the ones He came to save, without complaint His sacred life He gave. Consider Him consider him, sufficient is his grace. All those who long to be like Jesus Christ must now partake in his self-sacrifice. Take up your cross, endure the struggle now. In time you'll learn the cross leads to the crown. Consider him who chose a lonely cross. Consider him and marvel at his loss. Despising shame, Christ suffered in your place. Consider him, sufficient is his grace. Consider him, sufficient is his grace.
Our scripture reading this morning, Psalm 51. Thank you, Carol, Fiona, and Becca. The Jesus who is fairest of all is the one in whom we can place our hope and our trust. What a great God who has made his grace sufficient for all of our sin. Psalm 51 is in prelude to our message this morning. And we see the great grace of God here in forgiveness. And this story of David and his sin with Bathsheba is recounted, the confession of which is recounted here in this psalm. As you see David come before God, as you see his heart cry, notice, though, at the end, how God receives and God forgives. Let's read together. You follow along as I read Psalm 51. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. Then the young bulls will be offered on your altar. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I love that once David has confessed his sin, he prays and asks God for the strength to rejoice and to praise. There is forgiveness with God. There is grace with God. But our God is a holy God. And in his presence there can be no sin. And so as we come, as we worship from hearts that are pure. We cannot worship from hearts that are impure. And so as we see a psalm of this great sin, great confession, great forgiveness, the illustration of great grace, let us examine our hearts as we worship God this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, I thank you for who you are. Your gracious mercy exceeds our understanding. Your love is unfathomable. Father, your great goodness to us, even when we were sinners and we were rebels against you, we really can't comprehend your love. But, oh God, we are thankful for it. As we come, many of us, your people, followers of Christ this morning, we pray that you would examine our hearts. Father, if you find, or when you find things within our hearts that are not pleasing to you, would you show those things to us? And Father, by your power, we confess, and we will receive of you cleansing and forgiveness. Thank you that you are a forgiving God. Thank you that we can praise after confession and forgiveness. Thank you that you are a holy God, and as we come this morning to worship you, may you receive the fruit of our lips, may you receive the response of our heart, and may it glorify you. Oh God, as I think of the work of the gospel going around the world, I pray that as you have promised that your word would not return void, may Jesus be magnified. May our great and wonderful Savior be lifted up today, which in Christ and I pray. Amen.
Hymn number 316, 316, My Jesus Fair. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fifth stanzas. 316.
As the men come for... to receive the offering. We give as an act of worship. So as we do so, may he be glorified in our praise and our worship. Let's bow for prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the great gifts that you have given to us. They come from your character. And so, Father, as we have received from you, we return in worship to you, that you may be glorified, that the gospel may be spread. And so, Father, take this act of worship and multiply it, that your fame may be known across the world. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Allie. Appreciate your ministry here this morning and for the short time the Lord has led you here. As many of you know, Allie is preparing to go to move to California. So this is her last full Sunday with us. Hymn number 501, we'll sing Nothing Between My Lord and My Soul and My Savior. 501, we'll sing the first and then the last stanzas. 501, remain seated.
We are continuing our series with the pathways of prayer, which has been a theme for the year. And with that, we have covered a number of topics. First, we looked at the prayer, Paul's prayer for every believer. Just give you a catch up if you weren't here. Understand where we have been and why we are at this point for today. We looked at Colossians 4:2, being devoted to prayer. Paul calls on us to have this earnest devotion to our prayer to God. Look at Luke 18, and we saw that we must keep praying. And here God is teaching us persistence or importunity as we pray. We looked at John 15, and the prayer of the one who abides in Christ, and Christ's words abide in him. And we see the promises, especially in verse 7, that comes to the one who finds himself in this place. We looked at 1 John, praying according to God's will, how that we ask in anything in God's will, he will hear it and he will answer. Great and powerful promises. We looked at Romans. As we looked at Romans, we saw the Holy Spirit aids us as we pray. He intercedes for us. We have the great power of the Holy Spirit on our behalf. We don't know the will of God, but he does. And he takes our prayers from our heart and translates them for God, as it were. We saw last week that we should be praying in faith. We should believe that God is able. Now, he will, as we pray in his will, according to his will and by the Holy Spirit, we will receive what he will have done for his will. But now we come to the point of what hinders the prayer of the believer. Because there are times in which we pray and we do not feel as though we get an answer. Let's bow in prayer. We will discover what God has for us in his word. Gracious God, as we come to you this morning, we need your help. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to open your word to us. Father, we need willing hearts to receive that word and to act upon that word. And we thank you that you have the grace sufficient enough for us that we might respond in a right manner. And oh God, would you guide my words? They are of no consequence, but your word is eternal. It's settled in heaven. And so, Father, may we go away remembering your word. And oh God, may we change to be more like Christ. And we thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Have you ever felt as though God does not hear your prayers? You labor long into the night, or maybe you get up early in the morning and you beseech God, and you are on your knees begging, and it seems to no avail. And it is possible that you have checked off the boxes. If you think the past sermons, you've checked off the box. I believe this is God's will. I believe that I'm trusting that God can do this, and he will do this. You've checked off all the things that you can think of, but still God did not seem to answer. And it's not like he's saying, wait. Because sometimes we get a definite understanding in our hearts when the Holy Spirit just says, wait. Okay? I'm not saying no. I'm not saying yes. I want you to wait. And it's not that either. It's definitely, it's almost like the prayers are bouncing back into our face. Something's wrong. And those times, it feels that there's a barrier between us and God. There's just something there. And it is those times that I want to address this morning. You know, God has been very specific, and as we've seen in the past number of weeks, in how we pray. God has been very specific as to reveal to us who he is. And he has also been very specific about the condition of our hearts as we pray. And I wonder sometimes if I don't fully understand or grasp this concept of my heart being pure before a holy God. From the time of the earliest books of the Old Testament, God has demonstrated himself to be holy. He set apart in his righteousness and in his purity. And throughout these books, he calls on those who are His, who follow Him to be holy as He is holy. He continues that call into the New Testament. We think notably of Peter quoting the Old Testament, "Be holy as I am holy, says your God." And so we hear those words, but we do not always understand or grasp exactly what that means. This morning, my proposition is very simple from God's word. Is that since God is holy, you must confess sin so that your prayer is not hindered. See, God's word tells us that it is often the reason that our prayers are not answered is that because we have sin in our hearts and lives. You say, "Well, Stacy, that is a little harsh. Don't tell me I'm sinning." I'm not telling you're sinning. Maybe God is. So I want to walk through passages. I have about four of them that speaks to this topic. Because God is not silent on this. God has not kind of hid this in a corner and there's a mystery that somehow I've discovered. I'm not that smart. You can all shake your head, that's fine. God has revealed this to us. God has been very clear. So let's walk through these so we understand, because God puts this in various ways that we can grasp. We have an understanding of what He's doing. So let's look at the first one. Sin separates us from God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to look at this idea of separation from God. Sin separates us from God. So Isaiah speaks, and we have looked at Isaiah in the past. We've been in a few chapters in this summer. So Isaiah is writing the children of Israel. He is warning of what God will do. He continues to offer hope, but he also offers a great deal of warning. Isaiah 59, we'll read the first 8 verses so we have the context of it. Isaiah 59 is very instructive. "Behold," verse 1, "the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear." So what he's saying is, God's not deaf. God's not somehow weak. Okay? And in the context that God's not answering, God's not responding to you, it's not that God has a problem. Verse 2, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave a spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquities, and the acts of violence in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace." Wow. Verse 2, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." A separation. What are iniquities? Iniquities, it's a sin, an act, or a thought, a transgression, something required by God's law or character. Your iniquities, your sins, have created or made a separation. The idea of being singled out and divided from. We think of a family, we think of a group, and this one has been singled out. And he says, because you've sinned, you've been singled out and set aside. You've been separated from God. When we sin, we single ourselves out and divide ourselves from fellowship with God. It's not that we just make a mistake. Oops, we like to think of our sins as mistakes. Oh, I made a mistake. Willful choice. And when we do that, we single ourselves out from the fellowship of God. verse 2 again, and your sin has hidden his face from you, who does not hear. It's interesting, particularly, and we're going to look at this idea of being hidden later on. But notice what the actor is. Okay, it's not God. Okay, ooh, I've got to hide my face. Your sin has hidden the face of God. It's thrown up an alert. Your sin has thrown up a barrier between you and God. Sin separates us from God. First of all, we must understand that. Sin is serious. His face is hidden and turned away from us when we do so. And we must be serious about our sin. The next passage shows us that sin obscures God from us. Turn to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3, we have this passage. Verse 42, we read that we have transgressed and rebelled. Lamentations is a lament, is a cry out, cause of our sin and grief and pain. It says, we have transgressed and rebelled, you have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and have not spared. You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. To transgress is to behave as a criminal. To disregard the laws, the commandments, or the promises of God. And you see here a willful rebellion, a defiance. A defiance in our sin. He says, you have covered yourself, God, you have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer passes through. Earlier, the barrier is thrown up by our sin. God sees now the sin, another aspect of his looking at sin. He says, you first have covered yourself with anger, and you've thrown yourself up a cloud because the idea is to shut off, to make inaccessible. We don't like to think of God being angry. But he is angry at sin. Over and over in Scripture. See, for a pure God, for a holy God, who cannot have sin come into his presence, to have those who love him and to follow him now enter into sin is an affront to him. His anger manifests itself in very different ways and different causes. He is angry because it is sin. He is angry because I have sinned and I have broken fellowship that he so desires with me, because he knows that that's the only way I can have his true life, his fellowship with him. It angers him that I have broken that fellowship. So he covers himself with a cloud. It's that dome that is impenetrable. Our prayers are not getting through. I really never remembered the meaning of opaque until I started playing with Photoshop a number of years back. Let me give you an example. I have our graphic here of pathways of prayer. If you look, you can see on the screen that the word pathways has lost a bit of its opacity, and you can see the background behind it. And so if you look on Photoshop, okay, so you got the opacity, the circle in the red there. Little geeky. Okay, I'm sorry. It's at 47%. It's on this one right here, and it's kind of dialed back. And so you can see through. You can see through into, I laid it upon something else, a background. And that's what we think of, something that is opaque, not being able to see through, and as you decrease the opacity, you can see through it in a very real way. Instead of heaven being transparent before us, instead of the throne of God being open to us, the opacity is at 100%. Our sin is blocking us from seeing God. Our prayers are being blocked from God. The slider is at 100%. And that's the thing about sin. We don't get to fudge like 1 or 2%. Yeah, it's okay. 47, I can still see God, kind of. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's our flesh and our sin nature that desires to keep a few sins for ourselves, to have free and open communion with God, but keep a few things, a few pets on the side. The scripture says, our sins cause God to cover himself. We can't have pardon without confession. We want the benefits of prayer with all the pesky requirements of holiness. So heaven is covered up. It's opaque to us. Our sin obscures. Maybe that's the way you feel this morning. Heaven is covered up. There's something between. Our prayers aren't getting through. And so we try other things. The next passage that we're going to look at points to those other things that we, instead of a clean heart, that we want to do. And here, thirdly, we see that sin voids our outward show of religion. Sin voids our outward show of religion. Go to Jeremiah 14. Because Jeremiah, God through Jeremiah, speaks to this very distinctly. Jeremiah 14, beginning at 11 and 12. Just focus there. I'll begin at 10 so we can kind of get there. Thus says the Lord to his people, even so they have loved to wander, they have not kept their feet in check, therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. The Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. When they fast, I am not going to listen to their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I am not going to accept them. Rather, I'm going to make an end of them by the sword and famine and pestilence. Like, wow. And as Jeremiah is crying out to the people, God's words, the people have constantly turned from God. He set them up as his chosen people. He said, obey me, follow me. Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. Follow me, obey me, and all these things will be yours. The blessing will be yours. Turn against me. And the part of the covenant that I have ratified will be that you will receive judgment. And so here, he says, he uses a word. He says, I will not accept them. To accept is to take pleasure in, to accept, to receive favorably. To receive favorably. It's shocking. Don't pray. Don't pray for them, Jeremiah. He says their religious observances, their sacrifices, all of those things, I'm going to strike them through. They don't count. But Lord, we worshiped, we bowed down before you. We gave great things to you. We stood up and recited the whole psalm, whatever it is. We did all of these things, and we gave lots of money. The religious act, the sacrifice, the praise, the giving, all of those things are voided if there's sin in the heart. A couple of months ago, Vicki and I were going out to eat with a couple that were from out of town. And you know, when people come from out of town, they ask for recommendations. And when we give them recommendations, we like to pay for it because they don't know what the price is. And so we went to a dinner on Yelp. It was $2 signs, not one. Like Taco Casa is $1 sign, okay. It was $2 signs. And so they took debit cards and credit cards. It was not all cash. So we went to a place that had, it was a $2 sign. And we had a little good-natured discussion that we were paying for it because they didn't pick the place. We did. And so that was fine. We had that kind of settled. And end of the meal, the waiter comes by and he puts the thing there. I grab it just to make sure, you know. I grab the receipt, the bill, and I stick my debit card in there and give it back to him. And so he goes off and he comes back to me, and I think I might, he does this. He comes to me and he opens up so I can see and no one else can see, and he has in red pen the word declined circled right there. I'm like, great. This is not good. We argued. I mean, we discussed, and I won, and now, so I quickly, look over there. I put another debit card in and gave it back to him. Fortunately, Vicki takes people there for business, and so he's on our side, okay? He knows us. He knows exactly what, you know, water, lots of ice, those kind of things. So they didn't know. But I had money in the account. Okay, let me clear up the story. I had money in the account, and it was great, but as we are in the days of fraud and all those kind of things, a couple of things had hit our card, and the bank had flagged it and said, nah, it looked kind of suspicious, so we're not giving, nothing else is charged on there. And so we called the bank and got it settled, and we're okay. So, was that the time we lost $2,400? Or that the time we, yeah, that was, it was not okay, but eventually it was okay. You know, it's not a good feeling to have a card and your transactions decline or void it. You see, don't I have money in the bank? Don't I have all of this thing? Haven't I banked up enough sacrifice, praise, and giving, those things that God will accept my prayers? And he's saying this word here, to accept, he's not accepting. It's you've been flagged, declined. See, the seriousness of our sin when we allow into our hearts is that none of the capital that we think we have, the good works, the good things that we have, those things, that doesn't have any collateral, any financial obligation with God. What does he look at? And for a believer, he looks at the righteousness of Christ imparted to you, and he looks at your heart. He looks at your heart. He says, do not pray, will not accept them. I wonder, are your prayers being voided? Are they returned with declined upon them because of sin in the heart? We have compromised our hearts with sin. God has flagged our accounts. God only accepts the repentance, the confession of our heart to restore the right relationship. Number four, sin deafens the ear of God toward us. Would you turn to Psalm 66? Sin deafens the ear of God toward us. This is a beautiful passage. And as we think of this, the verbs could be present, they also could be past. Verse 16, it says, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. So it is an exuberation of rejoicing of praise of what God has done. I cried to him with my mouth. He was extolled or praised with my tongue. If I had regarded wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but certainly God has heard. Now, catch that statement in verse 18. If I regard presently a wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Iniquity, sin. Anything that transgresses or misses the mark. Look at this. Or listen to this. God does not hear. I have sin in my heart. I can pray and pray and pray and pray. And God looks down upon that and says, but my child, you're allowing sin to control you. And here's the word for regard. We don't use that much. It's to look upon or to cherish, which broadens our understanding. If I look upon and cherish the sin in my heart, the psalmist is saying, the contrast he's giving. I love verse 19. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. We understand that when Christ intercedes for us, when he is our mediator before God, and our hearts are pure, he does hear, and he communicates the prayer to the Father. He listens, he understands, and he gives heed, and he acts upon our voice. He acts upon our prayer. But sin deafens God's ear to us. You and I must not allow sin to be cherished. We must not stand the sight of sin. We must be ruthless in eradicating sin for our hearts and lives. It's not something that can be taken lightly. Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Our prayers fall upon a deaf ear when we cherish our sin. And Paul tells us we are not under obligation to sin, but we are to live unto life. God does hear, and Paul continues in that passage in verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. You see the relationship that we have with God, the Father? Of Abba, a term of endearment, still used today, by the way. We have that term. When sin is cleansed from our hearts, we have that familiar relationship with the Father. We have access to the Father. We have His hearing our prayers. He hears our prayers. But God is serious. He is serious about sin in our relationships. I find it remarkable, and I always mention this in my premarital counseling that I give couples. Both in Malachi and also in 1 Peter, it speaks to the husbands. The husbands, your prayers will be hindered if you're mistreating your wife. Your prayers will be hindered if you're transgressing. God is serious about sin. He is serious about our heart's condition. So what do we learn from the passage this morning? The seriousness of sin, number one. God's not playing. God's not giving a wink and a nod. Oh, that's okay, Stacy. That was a little sin. That's not God. He's pure. He's holy. How do we respond? We ask Him to examine our hearts. A path to a clean heart is examination. Wonderful thing about God, when we ask, He will reveal. He will reveal those things that are harming our fellowship with Him, because He desires that fellowship. He desires it to be unhindered, to be free-flowing, that we may experience His grace and His power and His work in our hearts. So we ask Him, and He will reveal those things to us. We must listen as He says, look, here's sin. Here it is. We must admit and confess. Wrapped up in the idea of confessing is that we say the same thing about our sin as God says about it. It's sin. It's not a mistake. It's not a oops. It's not an accident. We acknowledge and we confess. We confess our sin. And then we receive and rest in God's forgiveness. Receive God's forgiveness, and sometimes we don't rest. And in 1 John 1:9, 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, joke's on you, buddy. You're deceiving yourself. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Notice He is faithful and righteous. It is the righteous work of God to forgive sin. Well, righteous God, shouldn't He be in a... The righteous work of God, the faithful work of God, is to forgive the sin that we confess and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we rest in that. There's probably things in your past that you have a hard time resting in the forgiveness of God. I want to assure you today that when you come and confess your sin, God forgives and it is cleansed. He doesn't hold it over your head. It is cleansed. Receive after confession. Fellowship restored of God. That is worth the pain, the struggle of examining our hearts of wrestling with sin, of calling it what God calls it, and eradicating it ruthlessly from our lives, it is worth it. The fellowship with Jesus Christ is worth whatever cost that it may take. It is worth and more powerful, more poignant, and more wonderful than any sin that we could harbor in our hearts, any pet thing that we want to. Fellowship with God is worth far more than that for you if you're a believer. The question today was, what is hindering your prayer? What is hindering your prayer? Our God is gracious. Our God is good. Do not let sin separate you from the Father. Do not let sin obscure your view of the Father. Don't let sin cause God's ear to be deaf towards you. Purify your hearts. Purify your heart that your prayers be not hindered. And cleanse your heart that you might see the mighty, powerful working of God as He answers your prayer. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious God, I thank you for your love. Oh God, I thank you that upon the cross, Christ died to pay our sin debt. And by His grace, through faith and believing, we now have a new life, a new heart, new standing before you, that you have declared us righteous by Christ. And I pray, O Father, that there's one here who has not received of Christ the new life. They've not come and humbly submitted their hearts and turned from their sin to the Savior. I pray today would be that day. Oh God, would you do a work in that heart? Draw them to yourself. Help them to see that there is peace, there is grace, there is forgiveness, and is only found in Christ. But, oh God, I pray for us today who are believers, who are Christ followers today, and I pray that you would, by your grace, point out those things in our hearts and lives that are separating us from fellowship with you. Oh God, we need that blessed fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit, to guide our lives. Father, we wander in our lives so often because we have things that are keeping your Holy Spirit from guiding us. So I pray today that we would confess. Oh God, I pray that you would come and work in my heart, reveal those things that are separating me from fellowship with you. Help me keep a register that is clear with you. Oh God, would you do a work in our hearts as a body of believers here? Father, may not anything come between us and you. May not anything come between us and each other as believers. Oh God, may we be pure before you. And so would you do a work in our hearts and lives? Those around us depend upon us. Those around us in our community depend upon us to be pure, vibrant believers, to show them the way of truth. Oh God, may we rise to the occasion. May we love your fellowship enough to cleanse our hearts. May we love you enough. May we love our community enough that we would confess all to thee. And by your grace, and by your strength, receive forgiveness and power to live. In Christ's name I pray, amen.